Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled, The Gospel and the Gospels. The scripture reading is 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. Thank you to Dave, Amy, Carmen, and Dawn for being part of the service. Happy birthday this week to John.
1 Corinthians 15, verses 1-4. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures.
Morning. Today I just want to share a brief message about the gospel and the gospels. The gospel refers to the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his life, his teachings, his death, and the resurrection. But who are the Gospels? The Gospels are the first four books of the New Testament: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then there are other New Testament books, and they're called epistles, written by various authors. So I just want to share a couple of thoughts regarding them. In 1 Corinthians, it says, the Apostle Paul writes, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Now, it's not that Paul wouldn't baptize people. Of course, that's not the case. But it's the gospel that would bring people to the understanding of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel. And baptizing was very important. And looking in the scriptures, it talks about people being baptized many, many, many times. And if you've never really looked in the Bible regarding baptism, all you have to do is go to the New Testament, and basically in every one of those New Testaments, there'll be the discussion about being baptized, the death, burial, and resurrection. And so behind me is a baptistry. And I can't remember how many people were baptized behind me in that baptistry. Wonderful. When people gather together and people are making a commitment to Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And so when we stand in the baptistry, we do the same thing. Lower someone down into the water, coming up out of the water, basically with a new life, if you will. So I want to just spend a little bit of time talking about the Gospels. For Christ did not send me to baptize, and I'll put the word in only, but to preach the cross of Christ. In this brief message, we'll be just sharing it, and you'll hear the word gospel over and over and over again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 12 is not a very popular reading. It says this, "If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't you have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ." So in other words, people were sharing the word of God and teaching the word of God, but it wasn't just about death, burial, resurrection, baptism, but it was understanding it more and more and more. "Don't you know that those who work hard in the temple get their food from the temple? And those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar. In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel." And then in verse 16, he says, "Yet when I preach the gospel, I can't boast, for I am compelled to preach. And then he says this, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. So I've been preaching now for 47 years, believe it or not. And in reality, I keep learning things. And it's not because I'm smart. It's probably just the opposite. But somehow you get an understanding of certain writers. And when you just read the book of Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John, or whatever, you kind of feel their personality. You almost feel like you're standing beside them because you've read them so often. And you understand who they are and what they did and how they're praising God, even in heaven right now. And so it's, to me, quite a remarkable, this word gospel. It's not a confusing word. Yes, it's death, burial, and resurrection, but the gospel is everything, using the scriptures, helping people come to the Lord. He said, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. And that is very strong for those of us who preach on a regular basis. I can't imagine not doing it. And the preaching of brothers and sisters. And yet they had to be reminded of the gospel. I preach to you, which you have received, and which you have taken your stand. So what is the gospel? Death, burial, resurrection. And because of those, death, burial, and resurrection, there brings in a whole bunch of stuff. Life, children, work, everything. It's all part of it. And then he says, I want to know, you to know, that I preach to you. And I haven't preached in vain. I passed on to you in first importance that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And then that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, after the crucifixion, after his resurrection. People and people and people were seeing, here's Jesus. Here he is. We thought he died. Well, he did. Well, we thought he was buried. He did. He was. But he was also raised. And that gives us the hope of death, burial, and resurrection. Can you just imagine when you see Jesus face to face? It's not an exaggeration. It is a reality. And we see our loved ones again. And so it happened way back then. So many people beginning to understand the gospel and the understanding of them understanding for us today that the gospel hasn't changed and it never will change. The death, the burial, the resurrection, the gift of God. And yet, we do have an adversary, just like there was always an adversary, Satan himself. The God of this age, not capital G, small g, the God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they can't see the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus Christ, even today, even today. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. That's our body. We have this treasure inside of us in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power from God is from him, but not us. You cannot manufacture this. We do not lose heart, even when terrible things happen. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. One day we'll see our loved ones again. So we fix our eyes on what is seen, not on what is unseen. What's seen is temporary, but what's unseen is eternal. And then Paul, continually preaching these gospels, says, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel, which in reality is no gospel at all. And if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let that person be, this is strong, eternally condemned. The gospel is good news, happy news. Can you imagine looking into the eyes of Jesus for the first time? And Jesus sees us ever since we were born and even before we were born. It will be a reality for all of us to see him face to face and to know that he knew us more than we knew ourselves, that one day we will gather with them, a new heaven and a new earth with our loved ones. And then in Ephesians 6, I think it's around verse 10, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. He's always after us. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And that happens many times on a given day. People saying things or doing things or whatever that really hurt us. Then we could just remember how Jesus was hurt. But in the long run, it's going to be so good. Against all these spiritual forces in the heavenly realm, therefore, put on the full armor of God so when the day comes that you can take your stand. And we take our stand with Jesus helping us. And then he says, take the helmet of salvation, shield of faith, always keep on praying. Just keep on praying. And then in Philippians 1, stand firm in the Spirit, contending for the faith of the gospel. And then in Colossians, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. Again, death, burial, and resurrection. So through the New Testament, basically, in every book, it's a reminder of who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, how some of the great prophets and preachers and teachers in the New Testament are sharing all that. And even for 2,000 years, preachers and teachers learning, growing, sharing all the time. The gospel, here it is, right here, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then there is a bit of a warning. He says this, God will punish those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. From the majesty of his power, on the day he comes, listen to this now, to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. We want to keep growing in our faith. Some of us remember Muhammad Ali, the great boxer and later comedian, I guess. He once commented, "If a man thinks the way at the age of 50 as he did at the age of 20, that man has wasted 30 years of his life." We are who we protect, who we stand up for. He was an exceptional boxer, but he also was an exceptional person, and his faith grew in the Lord. And then I conclude with this brief message, again, using the word gospel. In Revelation chapter 14, and this is apocalyptic, it is looking at what's happened, and he sees this in heaven. Like, it's not that we're not here, but we are here, but heaven is here. And when we go, we will be seeing God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But the gospel is a reality even in heaven right now, and that we're part of it. We're not there delivered yet, but we will. And so he says this, quite a remarkable comment that John says. I saw an angel flying in midair, and that angel has the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth. To who? To every tribe, every language, and people who live on the earth. Fear God and give glory. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and the springs of the water. And then he says, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true are his judgments. When God says something, it's right. And he will be making all things new. And then I love this, and I conclude. There will be no more crying. There will be no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Question, is this apocalyptic or is it reality? Oh, it's real. It's real. Past, present, and future. What a great promise we have from God for all of us. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc., used by permission, all rights reserved worldwide. Scripture quotations marked MSG are taken from The Message, copyright 2018 by Eugene H. Peterson, used by permission of NAV Press, all rights reserved, represented by Tyndale House Publishers, Inc. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.